WATD presents Monday Night Talk with your host, Kevin Tachi.
If it's Monday night, it's got to be Monday Night Talk with Kevin Tachi. So thanks for having me on.
Kevin, good for you to hold back and let him tell his story.
Putting the South Shore spin on politics, current events, and pop culture.
You guys are the center of the universe today, at least the political universe.
I believe both of you are from the area. Marshfield guys, yes, no?
Correct, yeah.
That's right.
There's only one person not from Marshfield in this room right now. And it's you.
It's me. I'm the outcast.
Well, you've always been generous with the time. I appreciate it very much.
Well, I'm honored to be on your show tonight, Kevin, with that impressive lineup you have.
I believe our guest that we've been waiting for, Congressman Stephen Lynch.
Kevin, good to join you.
The governor of the Commonwealth, Charlie Baker. You ready?
I got to tell you that it was really nice to hear Aerosmith on the intro there.
You're going
to
be the rock and roll governor?
I don't know about that, but
we have Mayor Joe Sullivan joining us. Sir, how are you?
Well, Kevin, very good to be with you again.
Dr. Drew Pinsky. Dr. Drew, are you there?
I'm here. Thanks for having me.
Mr. Ming Tsai, welcome to the show, sir.
Hey, thanks, Kevin.
Massachusetts State Auditor Suzanne Bump. Hello, Auditor. How are you?
I am fine, and I'm delighted to be with you this evening.
And now, your host, Kevin Tachi.
Good evening. You're on Monday Night Talk with Kevin Tachi.
No, you're supposed to say that you're... Hello, I'm Kevin Tachi, and welcome to Monday Night Talk.
You said, say Monday Night Talk first.
You got to follow the script. Okay, now we can't do a do-over. It's too late.
It's all right.
You can't do a do-over. Of course, that is...
That's because this is live.
It is live. Not Memorex, as they used to say back in the day. That voice, of course, is none other than Peter Brown.
Peter L. Brown.
Peter. Why did you add the L? Are you noticing that the world is filled with Peters?
Yes, and it's... I just want to discern myself from everybody else, and I figured if I put that L in there, then it's great.
What does the L stand for?
Lawrence.
Oh. And automatically...
Yes, Larry, that's
my,
me.
My producer, Larry, sticks his thumb up.
There's a lot of Peter Browns. I mean, the car that we worked on today in my father's yard was Peter Brown's car.
No.
Right. That's what I said.
What's his middle initial?
I don't know, but I know mine's L, so I want to use it.
You might have to go with L.A. There might be a lot of Peter L's around.
No, actually, if you... No, don't search me, no.
Peter is going to be my co-host for the evening, at least for a good part of it.
Yes.
Anyways, as he had come to me a couple of weeks ago, wanting to have a nice open discussion in regards to some changes coming when it comes to getting your vehicle inspected here in Massachusetts. There is an inspection process.
Right.
And I guess there's going to be a little bit of a change.
There's been a big change. And one of the major changes is when they do the sticker, they take a camera and go around your car.
Mm.
And there's a lot of glitches. A lot of people have been frustrated with it. And hopefully that the registry can get to the bottom of it. But it's very frustrating right now.
Well, that's the segment that's coming up at 7 o'clock or maybe a little bit of... Before 7 o'clock, joining us is Dave Gallarani.
Yes.
Dave has the codes.
Yes,
Dave,
he does.
Cape Auto Body.
Cape Auto Body and Repair.
I'm sorry. Cape Auto Body and Repair.
Just helping. Thank you.
Don't forget they have a new green website.
Yes, they do.
And Junior D'Amato will join us as well.
And I'll tell you.
These are the titans of the South
Shore. When we were talking about this, we threw away around names, and we came up with David. Junior was the first one I thought of because... Mm-hmm. They're similar backgrounds, second generation, old school, service-oriented mechanics.
Mm. And having my conversation with Junior, Junior was saying that he actually, this was like a media thing.
Right.
He had other media outlets down, talking with him down in his garage and kind of going over. So he's looking forward to the conversation.
Good.
At 7 o'clock. Prior to that, we get some great guests.
Yeah.
We have found a way to bait the hook. And get the Attorney General, Maura Healey, to join us.
She's awesome.
She is awesome. We are going to speak with her about a couple of different things. Some of the folks out there, some of the more than 3 million Massachusetts residents might want to tune into this, seeing that they may be part of the 143 million data breaches, courtesy of Equifax. We're going to talk with the AG about her lawsuit against Equifax.
They should sue the pants off them.
All day long.
Yeah,
and
it's just nuts.
The proposed data breach legislation that's being put forth, as well as a couple of lawsuits she's got going against the Trump administration, one of them in regards to the rollback of the contraception coverage mandate, which is part of the Affordable
Care Act. I can't even talk about that without drooling. That is so bad. I can't even talk about it. It's so bad.
Okay. Then we will speak with Congressman Stephen Lynch.
Nice guy.
Very nice guy. Chat with him about, A, some monies. I want to say it was a little more than $400,000 that he was able to get for three communities in his district, federal fire grant funding. We'll talk about that. And also some new legislation that he is proposing, Air Traffic Noise and Pollution Expert Consensus Act of 2017. Do you know what that is?
All I know is they go over my house at certain times of the day, and it's not good.
You know what?
What?
You just hit the nail on the head, because that's part of the conversation that that we're going to have with him in regards to the FAA and some of the flight paths.
Yeah.
And updating equipment. We'll talk about that.
We need to update an airport in the middle part of the state.
I agree. And now, you ever watch reality shows?
Yes.
You do? Like what?
It's not speakable on radio.
Oh, okay. All right. All right. Okay. I'm talking about reality shows that are on network, network stations.
Like Big Brother.
Like Big Brother.
Yes.
Well, we have a gentleman who appeared on Big Brother 19, which it concluded just a couple of weeks ago. I'm not sure if I'm getting his last name correct. I know his first name, Kevin, like mine. I don't know if it's Schluber or Schluber.
Schluber.
He is scheduled to join us at 7:30. So
he's going to be live in the studio.
Yes, I just said that.
No, he said he was joining us. He didn't say he was live.
Oh, good call. Well, anyways,
I'm just trying to back you up. Thank you.
Thank you very much. There he is, Peter Brown.
Peter L. Brown.
Peter L. Brown.
Thank you.
I love this time of year. Rustling leaves, a crisp wind blowing, apple picking for homemade apple pie, a sunny day in a corn maze, a bonfire on a cool night. Cigars, and a half gallon of hot apple cider. Apple pie. We made it ourselves. This has nothing to do with Brennan's Smoke Shop, but everything to do with life. It's short. Yet so sweet, kind of like pumpkin spice coffee. It comes and goes like autumn wind. Brennan's Smoke Shop, Plymouth, Pembroke, Brockton, Wareham, Raynham, Taunton, Stoughton, and now on Pope's Island in New Bedford. Brennan's Smoke Shop, the very best smoke shop in Massachusetts. Customers must have a valid state or federal ID to enter the store. Message me on Facebook.
Be a part of the show. Call in and join in on the conversation. 781-837-4900. Now, back to Monday Night Talk with your host, Kevin Tachi.
Hey, welcome back to Monday Night Talk. Joining us, it's been a bit since we've had a chance to speak with the Attorney General here in Massachusetts, Maura Healey, Attorney General. Welcome back to Monday Night Talk.
Great to be with you, Kevin.
How is life treating you?
Everything's good. You know, busy. A lot going on in my office, but love my job, and, you know, we're trying to get after it every day.
Yeah, and you're right with that word busy, because that's one of the reasons why I reached out to your great front office. They were nice enough to set you up to chat with us to talk about a couple of important things. The first thing, I think, especially the 3 million people here in Massachusetts might want to know what's going on in regards to Equifax and, you know, what's being done by the AG's office when it comes to the data breach.
Sure. Well, Equifax, what a colossal mess. The worst data breach we've ever seen. This is a company that just didn't take care of business, didn't take care of our data. And basically, you know, this is a company like other credit reporting agencies that is out there collecting vast amounts of our personal information, personal data, and then selling that information on to banks and credit card companies and others so that they can market to us. Now, the problem with that is that, first off, we never gave them permission to sell our data or information. And the big problem is they basically collected all this stuff, put it in a big digital warehouse, and then left the back door wide open so that criminals could come in, exploit it, and take it. And that's why millions of Americans, including millions here in Massachusetts, are vulnerable. So let me tell you, we were the first state. My office sued immediately. We're going to hold Equifax accountable. They need to pay for their mistakes.
Yep.
They need to pay a big penalty. They need to pay the cost of credit monitoring and anything that, needs to be done in terms of protecting customers, consumers from personal identity theft, and they need to fix the problem. The second thing we've done is, in addition to suing Equifax immediately, is we've proposed legislation that will get at necessary reforms to the industry. Let me tell you what that legislation would do. I believe that consumers should be able to get or lift a credit freeze anytime they want for free. And, by the way, they shouldn't have to call three different companies to do it. It should be a one-stop shop through a simple portal. The other thing the legislation would require is for these credit reporting agencies to make at least three free credit reports with scores available to consumers throughout the year. And also, if they're going to collect this information, it's got to be encrypted.
Yep.
It's got to be encrypted so it's safeguarded. And finally, and what I think is really important, is that companies that want to access our credit report or access our credit score need to get our written consent, need to get our permission
right
before they do that. So between the lawsuit, and which is about making people in Massachusetts whole and making Equifax pay for their mistakes, we also think that, we need a law here to address this issue, and so that's why I'm acting on both fronts.
Now, you talk about the, data breach bill. I believe that you already have you have co-sponsors for this, but how quickly are others jumping on board to sponsor this as well in both branches of the legislature?
Well, I think that we've seen a lot of positive response to this. People recognize, I mean, this is something that it impacted me. It's impacted people all over the state. And what I've said to colleagues in the legislature is, I know you got a lot on your plate right now, a lot of bills you're considering, but you know, this is really right up there in terms of importance. We got to get this fixed, and we got to take action here in Massachusetts. So please, let's get this passed. Let's get this signed into law, because Equifax hasn't treated customers fairly. It's completely unacceptable, and we need to make sure that reforms are made to, the system, and I want us to lead here in, Massachusetts.
Yeah, and you're talking 143 million people that we know of around the country that are affected. And again, the early numbers are 3 million folks here in the Commonwealth, but that could be a bigger number. So not
big
only
number. And, you know, I want to say to your listeners, Kevin, one thing that happens when there are these breaches, the criminals may not try to use your information right away.
Right.
They may do it in a matter of weeks or months or even years. That's why I've also, with this legislation, said that where there's a breach at a ratings agency, we should get 5 years of free credit monitoring, period. But I would encourage listeners to monitor their credit. You can get access to free credit reports online. I'd also seriously consider putting a credit freeze on your file, because that'll make it harder for criminals to open up a new account in your name. Look, if you're trying to buy a house or get a loan right now, you may not want a credit freeze on your account, but the idea is you get a credit freeze now, and that keeps others from opening up new accounts in your name. And if you need new credit down the line, you can go back and ask for that credit freeze to be lifted so that you can go forward and have access to credit. But those are just some tips, and as always, follow what we're doing on our website. We've got a lot of tips for consumers out there on this issue.
And it's a new website. Didn't the state just roll out a new website?
Yes, we've got a new website. Go online, Massachusetts Attorney General's Office, and www.mass.gov/AGO. But you can also just Google Massachusetts Attorney General's Office. It'll get you right to our site. And I want folks to know that so many of the cases and the investigations that we end up doing come directly from complaints we get in our office. And so I always encourage people, you can tweet at us, you can connect with us through Facebook, you can email in, you can even stop by one of my four offices and file a complaint. But, you know, be in touch with us and let us help. That's what it means to be the people's law firm.
And again, we are speaking with the Massachusetts Attorney General, Maura Healey, who is joining us for a few more moments here. And while we have you, I definitely would love to get your take on a couple of things that you're working on. One, suing the Trump administration for rolling back the contraception coverage mandate and also the repeal of the Clean Power Plan.
Sure. Well, let me just comment on health care. We've actually filed two suits against the Trump administration in the last 2 weeks. One suit we filed last week, really important. Donald Trump wants to end the cost-sharing payments that flow from the federal government to our states that help subsidize the insurance market. What does that mean? Well, over the last few years, that's enabled a lot more people in our state and around the country to get access to health care. With his move, we've already seen how problematic it is. Just yesterday, our connector announced that as a result of that, they're going to have to increase our premium rates by nearly up to 18%.
Right.
So, you know, what he's done is reckless. It's frankly stupid, and that's why, you know, hospitals and healthcare insurance plans and frankly, you've seen bipartisan opposition to what he's doing. This is only going to raise people's healthcare costs, disrupt and destabilize the health insurance market, and really hurt our state budget. So in the face of that, I sued. I sued last week and joined with other states to stop that from happening. I want Congress to act to shore up the markets and make the necessary fixes to the markets. But in the meantime, we sued because, you know, we want to make sure that people have access to health care in our state. The other suit we brought, Kevin, was against the president and his administration for coming out with a rule that would put at risk contraception coverage for women across this country. Under the Affordable Care Act, more than 55 million women in the United States, including 1.4 million in Massachusetts, have access to contraception. Now the Trump administration wants to take that away. And basically what they've said is, if your employer, either because of a religious objection or a moral objection, wants to deny you access to health insurance coverage for contraception, they can do that. That's wrong. There were already protections in place for religious freedom and exemptions for religious freedom within the existing law and the ACA. But, you know, what this is about is a decision by President Trump that says these decisions are not for a woman and her family, they're for her boss. And that's just wrong. Contraception is a preventative health care measure. It goes directly to whether women are able to continue with an education, stay in school, continue in the workforce, or whether they ultimately, you know, end up having to leave the workforce. So it goes right to opportunities for women and economic security for families. And, you know, I just look at this as another example of an administration that seems to be interested in finding ways to hold women back. So we've sued. It's unconstitutional, and we're in court on that as well.
Talk to us real quick about, I know about a little more than a week ago, you and your office joined a coalition of 23 other states in regards to the elimination of the Clean Power Plan rule. Talk to us about that real quick.
Well, hey, there were so many measures put in place to combat climate change, to protect our environment, provide cleaner air, cleaner water, and to protect our clean energy investments, which are so strong here in Massachusetts and growing. Unfortunately, Donald Trump and Scott Pruitt, who runs the EPA, said that they're intent on ripping all of that up. And, you know, basically we have sued along with other states to say that is illegal. You can't just rip up rules and laws that are in place that you don't like. And, you know, we know how important it is to continue to lead when it comes to addressing climate change and combating efforts to basically ignore science. The other thing, Kevin, you know, for folks to understand in Massachusetts, we've got a robust clean energy economy. In fact, there are more clean energy jobs in Massachusetts than total coal jobs in the entire country. And so, you know, what Scott Pruitt and Donald Trump were doing undermines and imperils our economy here and the investments that we've made. And so we've stood up, and we're going to continue to challenge those actions. We've beat Scott Pruitt and the EPA twice in court already when they tried to roll back emissions for methane and roll back certain energy efficiency standards. Basically, Scott Pruitt, as EPA administrator, seems to just operate by a playbook handed to him by big oil and, you know, and coal. And, you know, I think that's why you see the outcry among so many states and state AG's offices, including ours, stepping forward to say no. You know, to do so would be illegal and it would be irresponsible.
And again, all these topics that we have spoken with the AG about, you can find on her website, www.mass.gov/AGO. Before I let you go, we know you got a mean double dribble and a double drive, and you're somebody who loves basketball. Give me your thoughts on the Boston Celtics and the latest news regarding Gordon Hayward.
Well, you know, that was such a bummer. And the poor guy, I feel terrible for him and his family and the team. But, you know, look, we know in sports we have our ups and we have our downs. Brad Stevens is a great coach. He's got a great team. Exciting to have Kyrie Irving on board. Mm. I understand that Gordon's surgery went as well as it possibly could have, and we wish him the very best in terms of a full recovery. And, you know, the one thing I love about the Celtics is they play hard. They've got a great crew. They're going to play hard, and I think even with this setback, they're going to be out there and they're going to surprise people. So, you know, go Celts.
Go green all the way. And I want to thank you for your time and make sure we thank Chloe and Emily for making this possible. And we'll look forward to more updates as to what's going on, some of the things that your office is working on, that you're working on in the near future.
Terrific. Always great to talk to you, Kevin.
You got it. Have a great day.
Take care. Bye-bye.
And, of course, that was your Attorney General here in Massachusetts, Maura Healey, touching upon a couple of different issues as just a little bit of a recap, chatting with her about the Equifax hack that took place and some of the action that her office took towards the end of September, not only suing Equifax, but also getting together with Barbara Leighton, she's a state senator, and Jennifer Benson, who's a state representative, putting forth legislation on a data breach bill, which will better protect Massachusetts residents, as well as her pushback on the Trump administration on not only the repeal of the Clean Power Plan, but also filing a suit when it comes to Trump's administration, their rollback of the contraception coverage mandate, which is in the Affordable Care Act. And, of course, the Attorney General has, in fact, filed suit. So we look forward to more details and having the Attorney General back on in the near future to give us updates on that and other things that are affecting not only the folks here in the Commonwealth, but us down here on the South Shore. We're going to step aside for a moment, and when we come back, more Monday Night Talk right here on 95.9 WATD.
Is Monday Night Talk with your host Kevin Tachi on 95.9 WATD.
McGuigan's Pub in downtown Whitman is a great place to unwind any night of the week. Stop in for Singo on Monday night. There's the always popular Irish Sessions every Tuesday night, half-price pizza every Wednesday night, and Friday and Saturday nights feature the best in live entertainment. Catch your favorite game on McGuigan's 8 big flat screens and enjoy a pint at their beautiful 54-foot mahogany bar. Whether you're a regular or coming in for the first time, you're always a friend of McGuigan's Pub, 546 Washington Street, Whitman Center.
How much of a difference could the new cancer center at Signature Healthcare make in your life? The difference of getting all the advanced care you need in one location, right here in your community. The difference of having your own personalized cancer care team, covering every aspect of your treatment with access to national clinical trials. The difference of scheduling your first appointment within a day so you can get started on your treatment right away.
I'm Dr. Stephen Lane, Chief of Radiation Oncology at the Cancer Center at Signature Healthcare. Here we deliver world-class care right in your community with Harvard-affiliated physicians working hand-in-hand with specialists from Beth Israel Deaconess Medical Center. That's one of the ways the Cancer Center at Signature Healthcare is making a difference every day.
To learn more about the difference we could make in your life, visit our website, mysignaturecare.org/cancercare. The Cancer Center at Signature Healthcare, affiliated with Beth Israel Deaconess Medical Center.
Download the Monday Night Talk podcast from iTunes for free. Just search for Monday Night Talk, WATD. This is Monday Night Talk with your host, Kevin Tachi.
Hey, welcome back to Monday Night Talk. And joining us for this segment, gentlemen that you hear during our opening montage, none other than Congressman Stephen Lynch, representing the 8th District of Massachusetts. Congressman, welcome back to Monday Night Talk, sir.
Good to be with you, Kevin.
I got to ask you, just to start out our conversation, it's been a while since we've talked. What is the temperature like these days when it comes to politics down in D.C.?
Well, politically, the temperature is it's a little chilly, at least between the Democrats and the Republicans. There's also a fair amount of discord within the Republican Party. You know, there's sort of the establishment Republicans, and then the Trump supporters in Congress, and also groups like the Freedom Caucus. So there's a lot of discord within the Republican Party that's actually causing problems as well.
How are you able to navigate these days during these turbulent waters?
Well, I'm a moderate, so I have a pretty good relationship with most of my Republican colleagues. You know, you can't get anything done here without a little support. Mm-hmm. You've got to peel off about 20 Republicans to get anything passed, and so I think relationships are very, very important in that respect. On my committee on oversight, you know, I spend a fair amount of time in Iraq and Afghanistan and Yemen, places like that, and on each and every trip, there's a requirement that it be bipartisan. So either I'm inviting, Republicans along, or they're inviting me along. So when you spend a week or 10 days with somebody, you tend to know more about their family, their home life, and you build relationships with people. So I think that has served me well in terms of trying to get things accomplished.
Probably the one thing I want to start out with is talking about accomplishments. You're somebody who works hard for your district. One of the things recently, you were able to secure a little bit more than $400,000 in federal firefighter grant funding for the communities of Walpole, Canton, and East Bridgewater. Talk to me about some of the work you did in order to be able to secure some of those monies.
Sure. We have some great chiefs in my district and all across Massachusetts. But So I was just with Chief Tim Bailey the other night. We had Walpole Town Meeting, but also Chief Tim Herron and Chief Charlie Duty down at Canton. Tim is with East Bridgewater. But they have a great program online where when these grant applications come out, you have to really be on the ball. We've had in the past grants rejected if they wanted 10 pages for a grant application and you sent 11, they would actually throw it out rather than tear off the back page. But so these chiefs and their lieutenants have done a great job online in requesting the various safety equipment, fire apparatus, training. I know that Walpole's program was really for recovering firefighters who are mislocated within an actual fire.
Right.
So we had that terrible situation years ago down in Worcester where we lost 6 firefighters in a warehouse. We could, one after another, these firefighters were going in to rescue the first person and the second person. So this equipment that Walpole got through Tim Bailey will allow us to track and recover. It's called a Mayday operation, where they have a missing firefighter at a fire site, and they've got to recover that individual. So, but there's been great cooperation. In some of our departments, we've got outdated equipment. So in that case, Canton had some outdated fire breathing apparatus equipment for emergency personnel. They were able to refresh that equipment and get on some new stuff that's much more effective. In East Bridgewater, Tim Herron was able to get 2 power stretchers, they call it, and an ambulance power load system for emergency personnel as well. So they've really, really done a great job, and We have, you know, they're very, very keen on using federal money to pay for some of the equipment instead of the local town, and that helps quite a bit. And I'm happy to, you know, support their applications as well. We push really hard for our folks down here, and you know, we've been more successful than the average district in terms of getting these fire grants.
What are you usually able to secure annually? Does it depend on the request and how they're filed that you get?
It is. In the past, we've been able to get fire engines, you know, like in Easton. Mm-hmm. I previously represented Easton, and I think it was about $1.1 million for a pump truck. You know, these fire trucks are very, very expensive lately. And so the town comes up with 10%. And the federal government comes up with 90% of the cost. So it was $110,000 for the local town, and then it was about $1 million in federal money. So we're continuing to pursue those as well. But obviously, in a year like that, you'd probably get like $1.5 million or something like that for your various fire departments. And it's a cyclical basis. Some of them are requesting high dollar amounts, and some are just, you know, are more modest. So it all depends on the mix and how much money is available.
And just to throw out a couple of numbers to our listeners, the congressman was able to get a little more than $200,000 for the folks in Canton, $90,000 for the folks in Walpole, and then a little more than $70,000 for federal fire grant funding for the fine folks in East Bridgewater, which is fantastic. You can't do enough for our public servants, that's for sure.
That's right. Right. They're doing a dangerous job. So anything we can do to increase the safety level for those firefighters, we need to do that.
The other thing I wanted to have an opportunity to chat with you a little bit, I know that you actually introduced some legislation, H.R. 3938, the Air Traffic Noise and Pollution Expert Consensus Act of 2017. What is that?
Okay, so we've got a new system of air traffic navigation in our area around Logan Airport that was instituted about 4 or 5 years ago. And what it does is it's almost like a tractor beam. It pulls in these planes all the planes on the same path. So for folks like in Milton, in Hull, that are beneath the flight vector, they have a relentless number of planes flying over their homes, some at very low altitudes. So what this act would do is really require the Academy of Sciences to conduct a study on the air traffic noise and pollution. Also, emissions are in play here as well, in terms of what that does to the communities that are located underneath this RNAV next-gen system. So we're trying to get the FAA eventually to change their system. We don't think that this is a system that's really considering the health impacts of the people who live in the areas, in the communities around Logan Airport. And so eventually we think we'll have enough evidence to file a class action suit to cause the FAA to change their system. Oh. That's the end game.
See, I was going to ask you, is it with this legislation, would it come with any federal funding to help them change over? But I would guess that you're basically going to push them to make the changes themselves financially.
Oh, absolutely. They have the resources. And in some cases, it would be a change that is required by Massport. And in some cases, it would be a change required by the FAA. But, you know, right now, their decisions are being made on the basis of using the least amount of jet fuel. That's what they want to do. They want to have the optimum flight so that the profits of the airlines are maximized. And we don't think that should be the priority. We think that they should balance that with the health of the people that they're flying over.
Was it the number of complaints that you might have received from the office that you were able to hear about that triggered this legislation?
Yeah. So over the past few years, I know this year we've got over I think just from Milton there's over 2,300 complaints.
Wow.
But there are a lot as well from Hull Dorchester, South Boston, you know, Winthrop, Belmont. So these flights are very, very concentrated over specific communities, and that's where the complaints come from.
Again, we're speaking with the Congressman Stephen Lynch, who is our guest, and we have just for a couple of more moments. I know that you have a lot of constituents in the 8th District. Any of them in regards to reaching out to you regarding Puerto Rico and Hurricane Maria and some of the damage it did to that island?
Absolutely. I've got a sizable Puerto Rican population in my district. So we have been working with you know, some of the support groups that have gone down there. There are some NGOs that are there. I wrote a letter to the president early on asking him to deploy the USS Comfort. When I had been in Haiti during the earthquakes a few years ago, they had dispatched the Comfort to go in there and provide relief not only to the families there, but also to provide services to the rescue workers. So right now, we've had several briefings over the last week or 2 weeks regarding the recovery and rescue efforts in Puerto Rico. It seems to be getting better slowly, but the power grid there has been destroyed, and that's so they've got a sort of an all hands on deck operation going there right now, where a lot of these major utility companies are sending in workers from all over the East Coast to help rebuild the infrastructure there in Puerto Rico. The generating facilities themselves, the power plants, were not damaged, but the tower system and the cable system that delivers the power, you know, to the houses and especially to some of the villages and the hillsides, those are really problematic. They had old systems to begin with, and so now those systems were taken down, and it's going to be a while before they get back on the grid in some of those outlying areas.
Is there any conversation in Congress in regards to any aid to Puerto Rico?
Oh, yeah, sure. I mean, there was an initial $6 or $8 billion that was approved, but it was understood that that was just going to be the first installment, and we're waiting for assessments of what it's going to cost to rebuild the electric grid there. There are some provisions in law right now that only allow us to rebuild what was there and not necessarily build it to a greater level of efficiency. So we've got some problems there. But I think that the right thing to do is just to, you know, they might have had a 40 or a 50-year-old system there. You don't want to just patch it and put it back to that standard. You want to make sure that it's able to withstand, a major storm. And also, you want to have a modern and efficient power system, not something that was designed 40 or 50 years ago.
Yeah, and, you know, thinking about not only Hurricane Maria, but you look at the hurricane season and how it actually affected the United States. You had Harvey. You had Irma, and then in Maria. I mean, I'm curious as to the amount of money that the U.S. government is going to spend in aid when we talk about the damage that was done by those three storms.
Oh, absolutely. And with Houston, you know, you have a very, very large population in and around, that was impacted with Harvey. And, you know, that's a very concentrated population. The situation in Puerto Rico is much different. You have people that, and also in the U.S. Virgin Islands, you have people living in more remote locations, and so the rebuild there is more difficult. It's going to take time, but you know, I know that there have been you know, tens of thousands of workers that have actually shipped in there already. About 30,000 rescue and utility workers that have gone in already. And I think there were already 30,000 National Guard personnel that were on site in and around Puerto Rico at the time of the storms.
Well, Congressman, we thank you for your time and your patience. Anything you want to say in closing during the segment?
No, just want to say hello to everyone. I want to thank you for the opportunity to come onto your show again. I know you're very popular and widely listened to. I just want to say that it's an honor for me to represent the families of the 8th Congressional District. I really do appreciate the privilege that's been given to me here in the United States Congress. And I try every day to live up to the highest expectations of the people that are
We thank you very much, and if I could just leave with you, thank Mickey for making sure that we're able to have this conversation, and look forward to maybe hoping to talk with you either somewhere around the holidays or maybe after that.
Oh, that'd be great. That would be great. Happy to do that, and I'm sure Mickey can arrange that.
Excellent. All right, sir, you have yourself a great evening, and we'll talk to you soon.
You too, Kevin. Thank you.
You got it.
Take care. Bye-bye.
Well, there he is, the congressman, none other than Stephen Lynch, joining us, representing the 8th Massachusetts District, chatting about a couple of different things, not only the firefighters, the fire grants, the federal fire grant funding. As I said, three communities getting money for that. I know that not too long ago he was actually just mentioned Easton. I know Brockton was looking to get some money as well. Able to secure a little over $400,000. For those three communities to be able to replace outdated equipment, apparatus. Interesting, he mentioned East Bridgewater, and as East Bridgewater getting a couple of new stretchers, the power stretchers. I know a lot of the communities in and around the South Shore going with the Striker systems there. Those are the power. It's so much different from back in the day when it was just, you know, in and out, manpower physically, two people or three people using it now to get these power stretchers that are able to comfortably take somebody in and out of an ambulance without injuring the people who are going out there to take somebody to get some medical attention. So we're going to step aside for a couple of moments here. And when we come back, more Monday Night Talk here on 95.9 WATD.
Is Monday Night Talk with your host Kevin Tachi on 95.9 WATD.
It happened at the supermarket November 20th, 1993, a Saturday. Most people do not buy duck. We are not a duck-eating people. Who thinks of duck? College quarterback Dick Wright did. On impulse, he pulled a nice frozen duck out of the freezer. But then he noticed it had the shape and the feel of a football. Cold as Green Bay, but a football. So on his way out, there's his brother by the pickup, about 35 yards. Bill gets a grip on that duck. He faints toward the end zone. His brother goes wide left, and that frozen duck had the ride of its life. That wobbling duck just flew. It smashed through the fingertips of the wide receiver and demolished the windshield of Sal Roseo's 89 Firebird. You just can't put a good spiral on a frozen duck.
I'm Tiny of Tiny & Sons Glass. We come to your work or home, and we fix your windshield. Your insurance company covers it. 1-888-64-TINIES. Just call.
My dad did a great job.
McGuigan's Pub in downtown Whitman is a great place to unwind any night of the week. Stop in for Singo on Monday night. There's the always popular Irish Sessions every Tuesday night, half-price pizza every Wednesday night, and Friday and Saturday nights feature the best in live entertainment. Catch your favorite game on McGuigan's 8 big flat screens and enjoy a pint at their beautiful 54-foot mahogany bar. Whether you're a regular or coming in for the first time, you're always a friend of McGuigan's Pub, 546 Washington Street, Whitman Center.
Download previous episodes of Monday Night Talk and listen to them anywhere. Check out 959watd.com/Monday Night Talk. And now, more Monday Night Talk with your host, Kevin Tachi.
Hey now, welcome to the second hour of Monday Night Talk. And Peter, I didn't hear, because you are going to be the sponsor of next week's alleged political forum we're having,
yes,
in Brockton.
Yes, Brockton mayor race, yeah.
Yeah, the mayoral race. Okay. Looking so I want to thank you for being a sponsor.
Do you have your bell ready?
Yes.
Yeah.
Seeing the I City think of Champions.
You're going to need a huge
gavel. Well, Christine. For that. Christine James, moderator.
Yes.
Of course, Larry, that's right.
Hi, Larry.
The Anthony O'Brien Sr. Memorial Bell. That's what we call
yeah.
it.
Yes.
With Tony O'Brien, we've gotten our use out of that bell.
She does a good job, though. She keeps him in line.
That's her.
That's
her forte.
She's my idol. Yeah, she's good.
So, Peter, this whole idea of this segment was yours.
Yes,
I think it's a fantastic segment.
Yes.
Joining us in studio, we start with Mr. Dave Gallerani. He has the codes.
I do. I have them.
He's in studio and. Joining us on the phone line is Mr. Junior D'Amato. Both of these gentlemen bring their expertise, many, many years of expertise when it comes to the automotive industry, and also their knowledge and frustration with the new state inspection sticker or vehicle inspection bays. Junior, welcome back to Monday Night Talk, sir.
Hello, Kevin. Hello, Dave and Mr. Peter. It's glad to speak with you again.
Good to talk to you, too.
Type.
Great. Hey, you know, before we go any farther, we have to take a left turn. Get ready to put the brakes on. I want to go down to that Capeway Auto Body place there with Dave's place, and I want to take that big lobster that he's got out in front of his place and bring it home.
Hey, we can sell you one.
Where can I get one of those? Those things are cool.
Well, here's the problem is we've had folks who are under the age of 25 who like to, like, for some reason, steal those.
Yeah, and, there was a problem.
We've had a problem with a couple of them.
Did you really?
Yeah. The idea behind those, Peter and Dave, would you both like to kind of expand upon
it? Well, it was
a
Chamber of Commerce rollout, I suppose. They wanted to do this thing that we're raising money for the Chamber of Commerce.
Yeah, it's a public art display that we did, yeah.
So it was combined with a bunch of things. Like you said, the artists got involved and the businesses got involved, and there was a couple of different ways to do it. You could lease the thing for 2 years or you could buy it forever. So we said, it's more money, but let's buy the thing, and we'll keep it out there pretty much in perpetuity. So,
great idea. It looks fabulous.
I think you get... Peter, what's the cost of them? I mean, what's the rental?
It was three for a rental and $5,000 to buy.
Yeah.
It's
a good place to put money into the chambers. It really looks the part, and I don't think we've ever actually got face-to-face, Dave, but I'm going to tell you, your place has got just a great reputation, and it looks just so fabulous when I go to Plymouth every week to go down to for dinner down there, whether it's Isaac's or Mama Mia's or one of the other fabulous restaurants down there. We always make
Thank
a point
you.
To stop and look when we go by, slow down, and your place always looks the part.
Yeah, we try to keep it looking good, you know. I always look at it like if someone comes into your garage, and I'm sure you're aware of this, and they see a sloppy-looking place, then you might think that the people do sloppy work. So,
exactly.
You know, we try to keep it as neat and clean. And the ultimate compliment actually came from my mother years ago, and she said to me, she goes, after I took over and my father had retired, she says, your father never kept this place looking like this. So it was kind of funny.
Yeah, I would have thought she would have said, you know what? It's about time you picked up and cleaned up around yourself, Dave. You never cleaned your room.
When you were a kid, right?
Yeah.
Exactly.
Anyway, yeah, that you're not the happiest camper in the world when it comes to the state inspection program.
Well, it didn't roll out very well, as you know. The state... I don't know how they decided to use A-plus again. A-plus, do you do stickers too or no?
Two stations, heavy duty, both of them.
Yeah, and we do too. So we do 25, 30 a day on a normal day. So the first day we start the machine up and we can't get in. So, okay, let's see what's wrong. Won't take the S number, won't take the password, pretty much. We were stop called right there, as you probably were too, and we fooled around, and then we called the hotline number that took a message and said, we'll call you back someday in somebody's lifetime. And after several hours, I got on the phone and called Vinnie DiMaceto, my state senator, and then I called Matt Muratori, my state rep, and they started making some phone calls. And by the end of the second day, we were up and running. But, you know, at this time, we had turned away God knows how many people. And the people that didn't normally come to me for a sticker were going to all the other places in town, and they were going from station to station to station. And when they came to me, I said, listen, don't bother going driving around. Nobody's running.
Yeah, everybody's having the same problem.
Everybody's having the same problem. So, you know, we were stuck in that mode for a few days. And then when we did get it up and running, of course, they didn't give us any kind of directions on how to use any of the equipment. And even though they did have, and you must have gone to the training, but the training was a slideshow. It really, it wasn't a hands-on. No one came down and made sure that the stick, that the machines actually ran the way they were supposed to run, which you would have thought that's kind of how you do things when you set up a new piece of equipment for somebody. You know, if you buy a new Hunter balancer, the guy comes out and calibrates it and makes sure it works and shows you how it works, and then everybody's all good. So, but, you know, being that they picked A+, which was really not good the last time we used them 8 years ago, so it hasn't gone well. And like I said, I'm lucky because my state reps actually pay attention to me. And so we get up and running quicker than other people, but we're still having problems. The cameras don't work. The cameras that they're using, as you know, there were supposed to be 5 cameras. Now there's just the camera to take a picture of the license plate front and rear. And sometimes it loads, sometimes it doesn't. Last week, it was kind of comical. We had been running fairly smoothly, and then we had a few non-communications between the car and the machine. We couldn't figure out why. And luckily, my registry inspector happened to show up that day, thank God. And we were telling him what happened. We had 2 rejections that day. And the people said, well, what do we do? And I said, I don't know what to tell you to do.
Yeah.
You know, there's no place to call. They don't answer the phone. We went through that whole thing. So anyways, as it turned out, the Bluetooth doesn't work properly. And there's a bunch of them that are defective. Maybe you have one. Maybe, I don't know, we paid extra for the Bluetooth, I guess.
Yeah, we all paid extra and they don't work.
Right. So if you use the hard line, it'll work. So we called those 2 people back, and then we rectified their situation. But the funniest part was the registry inspector said, oh, didn't you get the memo? And we said, what memo? And he said, about the Bluetooth doesn't work. And we said, no, we didn't get an email. We didn't get anything. So it's just been a terrible lack of communication. And I think the most upsetting part, and I'm sure you feel the same way, is when the newscasters get on Channel 5, Channel 7, whatever channels they were on those first couple of days,
right,
the registry people got up and said, well, it's because the garages don't know what they're doing. And that aggravated me to no end, because when you plug in your password and your username and it won't work, that's not our fault. And a lot of the problems, I would say most of the problems, are on A+'s side. The lack of communication, the lack of a helpline that actually works. I could go on and on forever.
So. Yeah, a couple of things about it. You do make a lot of fabulous points, and I don't work for the registry, but I was connected with a very good friend of buddies there, Mr. Rod Fritz from BZ, and we had them down. The registry was down. We had actually a film crew down there doing this stuff, and yeah, there were a lot of problems initially. The thing about it is that you were down a day and a half or whatever. I was down. 99% of the people were down for everything you said. Didn't take the password, didn't take this, didn't take that. And we still have a lot of issues. The cameras still aren't even connected up. And, yeah, they shouldn't have thrown us under the bus, but they did. But this program that we have now is the first of its kind anywhere in the country, number one. Secondly, there were a tremendous amount of stumbling blocks. They were overwhelmed with problems. I got stickers delivered to my house on Sunday, the first of the month, and we were closed that day, but they came right down to my house and dropped them off, which, you know, it was very nice of them to do that. But, of course, you put the stickers in, they don't want to. It was just a smorgasbord of problems when we turned the machine on Monday morning at 6 a.m., Yeah, I'll give you that. A couple of things. You made a remark about A+ when we had them back about 18 years ago, because that's about probably, what, maybe 16 years ago when we had the dyno days. And no one wants to go through that again. That was just a complete problem for everybody. And, you know, that's gone. So now we have what we have now. And, you know, we were both getting, growing up, We got on a bicycle. We fell down a few times before we learned to ride, even with the train and wheels. When we started to walk, we fell down a few times, and that's exactly what happened with the inspection machine and the problems they have. They even sent the survey out maybe a week or two ago, and one of my guys couldn't get online with the survey because they wouldn't accept what he did, but he finally did get online. The bottom line, everybody knows that there was a big problem with the initial rollout of this program. I had two registry people at my shop today for a couple of hours. In fact, when I got the call from my buddy here, they just happened to be in the office and heard me talking with him, and I said, yeah, tonight we're going to talk a little bit about it. He says, what do you think? I says, well, you know, there were a lot of problems. I says, at least now you guys are answering the phone, you're trying to get it done, and I think that once it's all said and done, we're going to be going along okay. The cameras that we have, the three cameras that they said we did not hang in time to get the stuff done, that was just hogwash. They should have never said that and thrown me, you, and everybody else under the bus with that. But they did, you know, and there's nothing we can turn the page and go back on it. But looking as it is right now, we still had a few printer problems for the manual printer and the sticker printer. But, you know, those are slowly getting worked out. Updates are done every day. Camera batteries are going dead on a regular basis. So you got to make sure you shut your cameras off at night and leave the machine turned on. Just shut off the monitor, or take the spare battery out and charge that and switch batteries during the day. I mean, yeah, we still have some issues to go through. And I think when it's all said and done, Dave, it's going to be a much quicker process than we had in the past. Yeah, you got the three or four pictures you have to take, and you call it a day.
Yeah, but I mean, I don't mind that. I don't mind the cameras. I think the once they get all the cameras in, it actually protects us that do it the right way.
Yeah, I think so. And the other thing is, there's been a lot of scuttlebutt. One of my guys was talking to me today about, I guess you go on the Internet, which I very seldom ever do, on Facebook. Everybody's all getting all woozy about a 2-inch raise in height. Who's going to reject that car? Are you going to reject it? I'm going to pass it. You rejected it, or I rejected it. You passed it. I mean, there's got to be some kind of limitation where you got to use your own, I think, taste. Say you raise your truck up 2 inches.
Right.
You drop your car 2 inches. You want to get in a fight? Let's go outside. Yeah, I mean, I do we need that?
But, Junie, can I interrupt you?
Sure.
Because my stepdaughter, actually, that was one of her concerns. She has been able to get, she has a Jeep, and she has tires that she went out and she bought, and she's had them on this vehicle for the past 6 to 8 years.
Yep.
Now, if she wants to go, if it's raised, she's saying that she will be failed because of the height, because it's been raised, because of the tires. Is
okay,
this true?
Let's get right to that particular point. My idea may be different than my Conrad Dave's and what's legal and what's not legal.
Okay.
2 inches, 3 inches, either way. If the car's a foot off the ground and the tires are sticking out past the fenders, we had a Jeep Wrangler in the other day, the tires were sticking out past the wheel wells. It goes, you know what? I says, you can't do this.
Right.
I says, it's got to be inside the wheel wells, or put bigger wheel wells on the vehicle. And he says, oh, I'm not going to do that. I says, well, you know what? I'm sorry, but we can't give you a sticker. He says, what about a rejection? I says, if you want, but that's not going to help you.
Right.
Another guy came in today with black windows. I mean, the windows were down to 15%. I says, we can't do that.
Yeah, the windows
and,
is a big thing.
You just
that's
can't
why,
do that stuff.
That's what I like about the cameras things. We've had some big arguments with people about the windows, and Rob and I, we were all talking about this before we went on air. And if you see, you know it, if you see a car that goes by you and it's dark, 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 and you can't see the person in the car driving, how do you think a policeman feels when he walks up to that car and he's pulled the car over for whatever reason? He doesn't know what he's facing. I mean, there's a reason why they pass some of these rules, and that's a good one. You know, you just can't be having your car tinted that low. So we've had some pretty good arguments with people. But then,
yep.
You know, it was 2% either way on the meter, I think. Isn't that how it goes?
Well, they don't want to give you any percentage, but I think, you know, 2 to 3%, maybe even up to 5%. for accuracy, because these meters are not calibrated.
Yeah, you're right.
And the meters were very inexpensive. So you kind of have to use your own judgment when you're doing stuff like that. And, well, the good thing about this sticker machine now, Dave, is, okay, well, Dave brought his car in. You know, the meter did read 33%. I tried it again. It read 35. Did it again. It read 36. So we passed it. And all you do, if you want to, just take a picture of it and put it in as you're doing the inspection.
Put it in the file.
People were calling me on Monday and Tuesday when the stickers were down. I mean, I had people at my shop like crazy. I did have a lot of the inside numbers to get in to the A-plus technology people. Even some of those numbers and cell numbers were inundated with calls. But the bottom line, I think, now is, Dave, that A-plus is not the A-plus that they were back 18 years ago. Do I miss Parsons? Parsons was the most fabulous contractor that I think has ever come down the pike. Everybody at Parsons was always there, number one. Number two, we didn't have a lot of problems, so they were happy to get a question from someone like you or me.
So why the change? Why would you need the change?
The bidding price war.
Well, and the state's getting more money out of it.
And that reminds me, everybody remembers the movie Armageddon? Remember the part, where they're sitting inside of the space shuttles, and Steve Buscemi looks over at one of, I don't know if it was Bruce Willis or one of the Wilson brothers, and says, "Do you realize that what we're sitting in is was the lowest bidder was able to build this?"
Yeah, but I mean, I'm not trying to stick up for him, not trying to beat him up, not trying to kick him when they're down. But when you have three people from the registry and A-plus come in and write everything down that you say, we never had that kind of warmth before from any of the contractors. So they know there's a problem. They're still working on it. And on the record, doesn't make any difference to me. I don't think we're going to see these cameras rolling to sometime next year. And I don't really care, Dave, whether the cameras go up or not. It's not going to help me. It's not going to hurt. It might help me a little bit as far as, you shouldn't have given me a rejection. But the point in time is, we try to, pre-look at the car. If the car's got, big wheels, tires, black windows, I'm not in the business of giving out rejection stickers.
Right. Right.
I am in the business of trying to make people understand which way we're going. If you hear a car with a loud exhaust, look, you know what? You got to get that fixed, because if it goes in the bay, it's going to get a rejection.
Right. It's like the people come and say, I got a check engine light on. And, we'll tell them it's an automatic reject. So
that's all you tell them. Is that legal for us to do? Absolutely not. You are not supposed to talk to the people. You're supposed to get the $35, bring the car inside, take the pictures, and then go for it, and then stick the rejection sticker on the person's car. Why do you get a rejection? Because you have a check engine light.
Right.
What's the matter with you, Dave? You couldn't have told me that?
Right.
Exactly. Now you just made an enemy.
I know.
So, it's a little bit of discrepancy is going to cause a big problem. You just got to use your head a little bit on this stuff.
And again, we are speaking with Junior D'Amato. Junior D'Amato, who writes for Gatehouse Media, also owns his own shops in Middleborough and Hyde Park. And Dave Gallarani, another local guy here in the Plymouth area. Is it just Plymouth? Or you have a
just
couple
Plymouth.
Of shops. Just Plymouth. But these are guys who are in the industry, and these are guys who are dealing with the issue with the rollout of the new vehicle inspection program that the state of Massachusetts is offering up at this particular time. I got to ask both of you, because neither one of you have said anything about it, and that is where you guys are taking money out of your pocket to be able to pay for this. How much more frustrating is it for you guys, the business owners, who are spending the money, and at the same time, you're sitting here going, why can I not be able to get a hold of somebody if I have a problem? Why is this equipment not working?
Well, that's very true. I think they were overwhelmed with all the problems, number one. Number two, we are spending $7,000 to $8,000 per machine, plus a monthly maintenance fee. I think it would be very, very kind of A-plus to gift everybody a month of free maintenance, number one. Number two, I don't know if Dave has gone through this, but if you've given out a reinspection because of a rejection sticker, you're being billed out for $35 again in some cases, and the customers are not the happiest campers in the world, and they don't want to have to pay. That's supposed to be a free reinspection. The state is aware of that, and they do say that they're going to compensate us for those re-inspections that we got billed out for a second time.
Yeah, we've been holding the paperwork on that, and we did talk to our registry guy, and he's a really good guy. He said, don't worry, I'll take care of it. We'll take care of it down the road. And so we're not charging, you know, we're not telling people they got to pay twice.
No, the other thing is, the remark that you just made about the registry person being very nice, 15 years ago, I don't think you would have said that, Dave.
you're absolutely right. And I think it was, I hate to say it, because when they were policemen, they were different. Now that you have regular people that come in, they're doing their job, they're enforcing the law, but they're not overbearing by any means.
One of the registry guys that was in my place today, his name's Gary, and he lives on the South Shore, and really, really wonderful person. And like I say, every one of these people, now, they're not out to go and try to get you for a violation and take your stickers away. They're out to try to educate us as being the person that gives the stickers. Just do the job right. And if you screw up, you know what? You're going to get slapped on the wrist. You're going to have to go to Quincy for a hearing.
Right.
I know that because I did it myself.
Oh, we've all made mistakes. It's funny. You used to have the little box that you had, the tire measuring tool. And the guy came in years ago and he said, where's your tire measuring tool? And they had used it for something else. I don't know. It wasn't in the box.
Stop. Like Elvis, it left the building.
Yep. Stop right there. You can't do another sticker. We actually ran down the street and borrowed one from another garage. But
yeah,
it was just ridiculous. The I got a badge, I got the power mentality of that time. Do you have a dealer's license or a used car dealer's license?
Yeah.
So when we first got our used car dealer license, this was many years ago, and the guy comes in his dress blues and the hat and the whole thing, and he goes to my bookkeeper. He says, I want this, 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 and this. And she's very organized. She just pulled everything out, laid it on the table. And he said, wait a minute, slow down. And he just looked at her and he said, never mind, you're all set. So
that was very nice. And, you know, again, we have the state police that come in from time to time, and they want to look at the used car log and stuff like that.
Right.
I don't have it here with me. It's at my house. We're just, you know, updating it. No problem. Here's my car. Give me a call when you can bring it in.
Yeah, I mean,
you never got that stuff before, Kevin. Honest to Christmas, these officials now are really—they get dressed just like we do every morning.
Mm.
They may brush their teeth before they get dressed, or put their pants and shoes on, then brush their teeth or whatever. But these guys are normal guys and gals, just like we are now. And you cannot, you know, say that they're out to get you anymore. Well, they're really turned around.
I have to say, and this is from taking my stepdaughter in to get her license just a couple of weeks ago, and
yeah,
it was quite fun teaching her how to drive. And it was different because it used to be the state troopers. Actually, they changed it from registered police to state troopers. And the guy was a nice guy. She made a couple of mistakes, but he's like, I'm not going to penalize you for this. This was down in Plymouth, by the way.
Mm-hmm.
But he was a straightforward kind of a guy. Warned me, goes, if I see you giving her any help, that's it, she's done. But he was a nice guy. She made a little bit of a boo-boo when she was coming out of a side street.
Yep.
And instead of, because it was four lanes, to each direction, and she went all the way over to the right. He goes, well, I could have got you, but you were good otherwise. A personable guy. You yep. wouldn't have seen that maybe 10, 15 years ago at the registry.
Junior's
and the people
right.
a little and the people a little bit nicer at the registry as well.
Yeah, they have. They've turned it around inside the registry, too. It used to be a joke, you know, when you went to the right. I remember I was in Aruba one time. We were standing in a line, I don't know, for whatever airline it was, and we were hot and bothered. We were all getting ready to go home. And the lady at the desk said, you're all on the wrong line. And I just yelled out, I said, what are we, at the Registry of Motor Vehicles? Now, there was people there from all over the country,
yeah,
and they all cracked up, and it was
yeah.
like...
Because they got it.
It's like, yeah, it must be the same everywhere.
It was universal, right?
One thing about you just mentioned, Kev, that you took your relative to get a license. The best thing anybody can do is when they're going to get bring someone up for a license is go right next door to Dave's shop and rent a vehicle from Verk that has a little Toyota Corolla or whatever that has a parking brake right where it's supposed to be next to the shifter, a handbrake that you can pull up. very important that the registry person that's going with the new student driver to get a license has the registry cop officer needs the ability to pull up a parking brake. And we send everybody to Brick down here in Middleborough to rent a brand new car. That way there's no problems, and they know the parking brake works. They know all the lights work. Because if you go down there with a vehicle that isn't 100%, hey, you got to make another appointment.
Right. Right. That's absolutely right.
We just got a couple of moments left here with Junior D'Amato and Dave Gallarelli. I want to thank both of you gentlemen for your expertise. Anything you want to say to folks out there in regards to getting ready to go and get, you know, an inspection sticker, being a part of this process? What can they do to expedite the situation when it comes time to go?
Well, one thing is you don't want to go with the first couple of days of the month or the last 2 days of the month. And just do a visual look around. You know, have someone step on the foot brake for you if you'd like to do your work yourself, just to make sure the brake lights work, because how are you going to know that? Then you want to have someone look at it when you put it in reverse. And, of course, make sure you have your foot in the brake and make sure the backup lights work. Just a general look around, windshield washers, wipers, all that common sense stuff needs to be looked at. And, again, if you have a check engine light on or an airbag light on, guess what? That's an automatic rejection. Right. If your vehicle is OBD2 compliant, you can always go to just about any place and have a check and see what kind of a code it's bleeping out. And if it's a 2002 or older car, no emission test required. Next year it's a 2003, then 2004. It goes up every year. But if you have any kind of an airbag light on, it's going to get a rejection, even a 2002 car.
Okay. Definitely something good to know. And also make sure your license plate is decent too, right?
Oh, yeah. They're getting real picky about those green license plates. If your green license plate doesn't have a good reflection on it, you can't see it properly back 60 feet. Same thing with the red, white, and blue plates. If you don't have two, or they're dirty and you can't read them, you got to go right down to the registry and they just swap your plates out.
Yeah, that's the other thing. People that have Corvettes, they don't want to put a plate in the front of their car.
Oh, well.
They freak out.
lots of plates that are disappearing now. All kinds of bracketry. So we don't want to hear that, do we, Dave?
Nope. I'm sorry. You got to do what we got to do.
Well, gentlemen, I want to thank you both for being a part of the program and discussing it. Now, the idea is hopefully in the next couple of weeks, I'm hoping to have somebody from the state on the program. If either one of you gentlemen want to participate in the conversation, would love to have you be a part of it, or I can go solo. I think I can do okay with that.
Hopefully,
you need either one. You need me, you can call me, and I'm sure Dave would definitely give his Stop and Shop's worth.
Yep.
I'll be the AMP wheel, and Dave can be the Stop and Shop guy.
There you go.
Love it.
There you go. It. Neither one of us have S&H or gold stamps anymore.
Boy, you're going back a few.
It's like 40 years ago.
You're dating yourself.
Holy
cow. All right. Listen, it was great. Dave, I love your shop. It looks great, bud.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
Junior D'Amato joining us, Gatehouse Media. Check him out. And, of course, Dave Gallarani here locally in the Plymouth area. We're going to step aside. And when we come back, more Monday Night Talk here at 95.9 WATD. Don't go anywhere.
Is Monday Night Talk with your host Kevin Tachi on 95.9 WATD.
How much of a difference could the new cancer center at Signature Healthcare make in your life? The difference of getting all the advanced care you need in one location, right here in your community. The difference of having your own personalized cancer care team, covering every aspect of your treatment, with access to national clinical trials. The difference of Harvard-affiliated oncologists working hand-in-hand with colleagues from Beth Israel Deaconess Medical Center.
I'm Dr. Rolf Frater, Chief of Hematology and Oncology at the Cancer Center at Signature Healthcare. Here, we'll schedule your first appointment within a day so you can get started on your treatment right away. That's one of the ways the Cancer Center at Signature Healthcare is making a difference every day.
To learn more about the difference we can make in your life, visit our website, mysignaturecare.org/cancercare. The Cancer Center at Signature Healthcare, affiliated with Beth Israel Deaconess Medical Center.
Be a part of the show. Call and join in on the conversation. 781-837-4900. Now, back to Monday Night Talk.
All right. Sorry, there's a little chaos going on here in...
This is Olivia.
I'm sorry. I called you Chaos by accident.
Classic. That's her nickname. Yeah, we'll get into it.
Now,
we'll
Kevin, you gotta help me because I'm not sure if I said your last name.
Okay, now,
right.
You know the Uber.
Schlehuber.
Schlehuber.
I was going to say Schluber.
That's what they used to call me. My uncle's up in Mission in 1968. Schluber.
Okay.
You call my uncle.
Now, are you a Boston guy, or are you a South Shore guy?
Mission Hill.
Okay, all right.
Boston.
Well, I'm asking for the simple. Now, get this.
Put this along close. Okay, no, I'm from Mission Hill. I live in Bridgewater now.
Okay, all right. See, you shouldn't have said that. I was just trying to say South Shore because nobody would know.
No, I love the South Shore.
You went over to my buddy Stevie Prisco's.
Of course. And let me tell you another thing. Let me tell you, Gun Rock during the summer. Me and my friends at Mission Hill, we would get on that bus that brought you down to Paragon Park, down in Nantasket.
Oh, yeah.
You know what I mean? I remember. I would say, it was probably 30, 40 years ago, and they finally had a bus to get you down there, and we would spend the day down at the Gun Rock or the old roller coaster in Nantasket, Paragon Park. You know, we'd get the book of matches, so you get half price. Right. You know, everyone used to have them. We'd all come together, 15 of us.
Now, see, he's talking old school here, but the purpose of him being here is this is a gentleman who appeared and did quite well. And my missus was just here. Sandy was just here saying, you should have won.
Yes.
He made it to day 86 on Big Brother, which concluded just a couple of weeks ago.
Yes. Yeah.
Where Josh won. In that
Shocking, but Josh
shock.
Won. And Josh, but I don't mean it that way. Josh and me are cool. He's coming up for Thanksgiving dinner.
Is he really?
Me and him are friends, yes. Ramses just left. I just got back yesterday from L.A. I was with Paul and his family.
Paul Abrahamian?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes, really good kid.
Yeah.
And
he should have won.
I thought so. I thought whoever played. See, the criteria for the game, I don't know. They have different criteria, but I thought Paul played the best. May not have been the way people liked it. May not have been. But the whole point was to play to get other people out. I mean, me and Paul discussed it. The reason.
But you were supposed to be final two with him, no?
Yes.
But he was final two with everybody.
Yeah, but exactly. And the reason he told me after is that if me and him went to the final two, he would have lost to the jury because everyone in the jury liked me. Mm. No one in the house, maybe two or three of them disliked me for whatever particular reason they have. They're 23-year-old kids. They could like you because you didn't have a nice pair of slippers on. There could be anything they can dislike you for, you know what I mean? So two or three of them may have voted against me, but if I went to the finals and the jury voted, probably would have got 7-2, I would have won.
So what got you involved? What got you interested in being on Big Brother?
So I have 7 children. You know, I've been married 30 so years. So my daughters, I used to go downstairs a year or two or 2 years ago, and they'd be, everyone would be down there, and I'd be like, hey, good, must be the Pats game or something. No, go back upstairs, be quiet. I'm like, what? What are you talking about? It was the finale for Big Brother. So then I was like, you know, they went to meet and greet. They went to meet the kid Derek from Rhode Island, who won. Nice kid, man.
Derek has been on the show.
What a gentleman, man. Mm. He's my pal. He's a real nice kid.
And he's got a little girl, right?
He had another baby now.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, I know. So now, laying in bed talking, and on comes a commercial that down in Ned Devine's in Quincy Market, there's going to be a casting call, basic type thing. So I said, man, you know, because you know Mission Hill guys think they know everything. You know what I mean? The city guy. So I said, man, I could do that. And my daughters laughed at me. A week later, honestly, true story, on comes the commercial again at Ned Devine's Quincy Market. And my other daughter worked at the aquarium, asked me to come and meet her. So I said, you know what? I'm going to go down and meet her because I haven't been on the Amtrak or the commuter rail my whole life. You just, in Mission Hill, you didn't need to do it. You could walk from one street to another jump from roof to roof. So I ended up going down there. And 500 kids there, all texting, all sitting around. So I got like my stomach 262. So I'm laying in, out of nowhere, this kid comes in, and my daughter said, that's the guy who won. And I was like, really? And I went over and talked to the wrong guy for 2 minutes before I see, that's him, Derek. And he's like, who are you? I said, who are you? And we just fell right together. So
Clicked
big time. Mm. So he brought me backstage and met the producers and talked, and then I went and talked. They had to come the next day, and the next day they flew me out to L.A. It's a process. It doesn't happen overnight. It took 3-4 months. Then they said, we're coming to your house to film. So I'm sitting here, and I said, I'm not from out here. Just move there, which I love Bridgewater where I live now. I really do love it. People are so nice, man. I'm telling you. Mm. So I brought them in my old neighborhood. And so we get back to my house. They serve me pizza, open up the box, the keys in there. They take my phone, and I don't see my family for 100 days. And I mean, no contact. I mean, no contact at all, nothing. I didn't know. I know the Pats lost the first game. I was shocked when they told me that. I was like, what? What, are you kidding me? Man, I didn't know any of that, nothing at all. Right. And I was just in that house with a bunch of young kids, and that's just how it was.
See, and I was going to say that.
So you can talk. Because my daughter, Olivia, is there with me.
Come on, Liv. You want to be a part of this?
Come on, say hi, honey. Come up and say hi.
The microphone is here if she wants to.
Say hi to the microphone.
She's
Olivia goes to Bridgewater State.
Okay.
Yeah, she's a freshman, yeah. I'm going to the play on there Thursday night.
Really?
Yeah. I had a meet and greet at Steve's.
At Prisco's Market.
And the girl came up to me and said, I'm in a play at Bridgewater State called The Gypsy. And I said, of course, Gypsy. I said, I'll come. And then they start tweet, whatever. Next thing you know.
Yeah.
So it's not like I mind. I went last year's play before. I was on Big Brother. So I'm going Thursday night. And then I have a meet and greet at Emma's on Friday.
It's not rocket surgery, you know?
No, I know, exactly. I just come and do like you. We just sit and talk and hang out, and that's be yourself. Simple as that.
So you never really had aspiration to be on it? Because I'm like saying, wow. First off, you're reminding me a little bit of Donnie. Remember Donnie? Mm-hmm. Donnie was an older guy, but they got threatened by him because he was so friendly. Yeah, dude,
yeah,
a beard.
Yeah, so nice.
In the military.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah, no, so I got on, and so now when I'm on, now I figured, you know, because, you know, again, you're Boston, you get that defense mechanism, you're tough Mission Hill, tough Boston, think you know everything. And I'm like, man, I'm going to win these comps. I mean, you have to hold a plate against the wall for 3 hours. I was like, and we did it at 4 a.m. So I decided some of my comps, my physical attributes, I think I left back at Logan Airport in the luggage. So what I did was I decided to use my social game the best way I could. And I just got along with everybody and was cool and chilled and didn't make a fuss and didn't become over-aggressive weird. Because if you, the ones who won the comps and the ones who did real good at the beginning were all taken out early.
Okay.
You know what I mean?
Right. Well, like, almost like, you know, it's odd. Watching this season, it was interesting. And even knowing that Cody and Jess are now competing in the Amazing Race.
And I, you know, Jess is from his area. She was going to take me to the Pats game.
Yeah.
She lived in the North End.
Okay.
Yeah, she's from Rhode Island. Her mom lives up in Maine. Really, I liked her. I thought she was a sweetie. She was a little nuts. Not meaning. She just had her own ways about her. Yeah. And Cody was quiet, but me and Cody never got a problem, ever one time.
But now, did you have a chance to, after you were in front of the cameras, did you have a chance to watch it all play out?
I've never watched a second yet. Not one second. There's things that have, apparently, I was bullied without knowing it, but they think I was. But I kept to myself, man. I was 30 years old. I would get my ice cream with my whipped cream on top, and I'd sit in my corner with my headband on, and I would eat my ice cream. Think of the old times, the good times.
But no, but there was like no interest to see like what had happened because this all.
No, you tell me what happened.
But what I'm saying to you is, well, I mean, you're the reason why Paul Ibrahimian was in the, because you took that,
yes,
that first, you know.
And I didn't even, $25,000.
Well, and then the second time you only won $27. So.
Yeah, no, now that was a strategic move.
Okay.
Now think about this. I'm going to tell you why it was a strategic move.
Okay.
Everyone kept saying, who won the 25? Who won the 25?
Right.
And it was getting down to Ramses was voted off. So they were like, listen, man, who won the 25? So by me taking the second amount of money, which I knew was going to be a limited amount, of course, I knew it was not going to be another $25,000.
Right.
Who's going to say someone won $25,000 is going to take $27? You know what I mean? So I thought I would do it, and I was so far behind going across the balance beam, that I wasn't going to catch Jason, and he was my friend. I didn't want to beat him, so he was 20 rows ahead of me, or 20 times ahead of me. So I said, let me grab the chalice, and $27 now. A month, 3 weeks, no one ever asked me again if I won the $25,000 because they didn't think anyone would be sane enough to take the $27 if they already won $25,000, you know? So I actually, that's probably the only one good move I made the whole thing besides just being a good social game, you know what I mean?
But, I mean, what was that? I mean, did you have an opportunity? Did they have movies? What did you do for 24 hours?
Let me tell you something. I want
to
tell you right now.
Keep yourselves entertained.
If you say if there were movies, I would still be there. There was no, and I'm telling you right now, I'm going to list off just 10 things. There was no phones, no radios, no TVs, no pens, no pencils, no books, no social, like, what's going on in the world. If outside, somebody went outside where the yard, which was connected, I thought it was two different studios, they lifted up they opened up the gate thing, they lifted up the gate, almost like gladiators, you went out in the yard. You only went out in the yard twice a week. You may have seen them on the show. It looked like you went out more. 2 days a week you went out in that yard, and you were only out there 12 hours each day. Wow. So for 24 hours, for the whole week, you went out in the yard. So the game is devised to keep you in a house and aggravate each other to the point where you start making things up about each other, you start critiquing everything, start criticizing everything.
Paranoid.
Yes. So I would, if you watched, when that yard, when that door opened to go out in that yard, I used to go out in that yard. I used to count the planes that went by. And if I knew every hour, 13 planes went by an hour. So people would go outside. They're such fanatics of the show. You could hear people on microphones yelling outside. They may be a quarter mile away, but you could hear them. And they would say, "And the house is on a lockdown." And I'd be like, "No, please." So they would lock down, and that you lose that day, so you don't go out for another week. So there were times, out of the 13 weeks I spent in that house, two of those weeks, we never went out straight for 14 days.
Wow.
And I started reading the ingredients in the cereal boxes. You know, the Lucky Charms? You know what I mean? Hummus is in the Lucky Charms. I started reading the shit. There was nothing else to read. So at the end, when you see people read the Bible, there's one Bible in the house. I think it's purposely done to make you, the show dictates to aggravate each other. And to say, "Listen, man, I had enough," or whatever. So,
but watching the competition, maybe Olivia can kind of add it. Now, did you watch this yourself? What was it like watching your dad on TV? It had to be pretty cool.
Speak up.
It was pretty weird to watch him because, like, we knew where he was all the time, and like we would watch him just like not do much because he didn't really do much.
No, I did, but I had to do. Listen, Kevin, I made it to the top.
This is cool. You brought your daughter.
I agree, because you want someone who's young. You don't want me to come here and say. I made it the furthest anybody my age has ever made it on the show. I won the third amount of money of everyone on the show.
What was even funnier is just watching on social media. There were a lot of people who were loving you on social media.
Yes.
A lot on Twitter. They're like, we want Kevin. And I'm like,
yeah, because I didn't get into that baby stuff. Can you say grab ass on the show?
You just did. So
well, they used to play almost like your girlfriend in 1975 in high school. I mean, in middle school. I mean, you're just starting freshman in high school. You have a girlfriend 1 week, and the next week you have another girlfriend. Or if she has another boyfriend. They were doing that, and I was like, I was never into it. I was too old. I didn't want to listen to it. And they talked about the same stuff all the time.
Really?
Yeah.
How careful were you in regards to kind of revealing? I mean, were you like an open book? Did you feel that Dad was an open book?
No, not at all. Like, stories, yes, but like nothing really but himself or us or anything.
No, I purposely would tell him. I mean, I told him stories of how we grew up. You know, where'd you grow up?
Right in the Boston area.
Okay. I would probably say, I'm not going to guess, maybe Rosendale, the North End, one of those areas. But you hung out with your friends growing up.
Yeah.
Stories happen. You went over to Brookline to the movies. Then you would get told, "Go back to Mission Hill. We don't want you from here." And you'd be, "Go back." So all of us would hang here. I would tell them these stories. They would, their last, Josh and Paul are 23 and 24. You add them up, and I'm still 10 years older than them.
Mm.
So they would listen to my stories, and I knew if I captivated them with stories. And know what the worst part about it, I did find out at the end, that a lot of them didn't believe my stories, and all my stories were true stories. I mean, you go up in Mission Hill in the 60s, 70s, and 80s, you have stories.
Right.
Trust me, and believe me, think about it. There was good stories, and I would tell them and try to captivate them, and to keep them from disliking, the whole key was they would target somebody. Once they targeted you,
you're done.
You're off. You might as well get evicted. You're on the block. I didn't go on the block for 79 days.
Right.
So once I went on the block.
But you were on like 5 days. You were on five times in a row.
You didn't hear my joke, man. I told you earlier. I said I've been on the block so much I feel like one of the new kids. Exactly. So the only people knew that. Some of the people in the house were scratching their head. Of course, some people knew. Julie got the joke and a few others. Production loved it. I had told the joke to Paul previous, and I got told by production, use that joke. And I was like, okay, I'll use it. I said, well, new kids are from Boston. You know, the Wahlbergs, Joey McIntyre. I went to school with his sister. His sister went to Mission High School.
Right.
Yeah, Patricia, beautiful girl. The McIntyres and the Wahlbergs and the Knights and all of them. They're all from Boston, Dorchester. So, I mean, I used that as a joke, and some of them didn't know what I was talking about. Some of them did. So it was pretty fun, though.
Are you surprised that Paul didn't win it? Why? What was it? Do you feel that the point that he pissed off someone like an Alex or Jason?
Yeah.
Because I kind of felt like,
oh my God, listen,
we should have been with you.
If you watched at the end, they have this thing called the jury roundtable.
Yeah.
So I never went to jury. I was
going to ask you that.
No, I never. I was the last
they
one.
They had like the jury house.
Yeah, I never went to the jury house. I went to a hotel. Yeah, well, don't break down like that. There's nothing in the hotel. You might as well, I might as well be in here. This is the most talkative. Well, at least I could talk to you. Literally nothing, nothing for 6 days. I'm talking about solitary confinement. So they keep you away from everything. So when I walked in the jury roundtable, you could see me walk up. I shake the guy Will's hand, and I'm like, great. This is going to be easy. Paul wins. And they attacked me like, what? Ah, everybody. And I was like, what? You don't know what Paul did. You don't know what Paul did. You don't. And so they, for a while, they had me switching my allegiance, thinking, you know, maybe they're right. And then I went back for three more nights at this hotel thinking, you know, that's how the game's supposed to be played. And I feel that Paul played the game to win and that he should have won.
See, Josh was a guy that, and Olivia, give me your thoughts. See, I think Josh was the kind of guy who would have voted. He would have been gone way before your dad because he was an aggravating figure.
Yes, thank
the whole
you.
Meatball yeah. thing and the bang in the pants and he had the pickle fight with Mark with the pickle juice. You would have thought he would have been like booted earlier.
If I was on the show, I would have got him out like the first week he started doing that stuff. I think Paul should have won, but.
But why didn't they? Why do you feel they didn't respect Paul's game?
Because he had already been there, and he knew exactly how to play the game, so he played it, like, dirty the second time he was there.
That's a good word. That's the word they all used. Every one of them used that word.
Dirty,
and
huh?
That's how these young kids... And again, like Josh, if you watch, the first night, Josh went crazy, jumped across the thing. He tried to...
Oh, I remember that. Yeah,
and
yeah.
I went right to him and said, what are you doing? Your family, you're watching. Calm down. He slept with me.
I remember that.
For the first four nights, he slept in bed with me until I said, listen, you, that's enough, man. You ain't sleeping with me no more. Because he just turned 23 on like January 4th, something like that. And me and him were friends. But I would have thought Josh would have been the first or second one gone on the show. And he won the whole thing.
Okay, we're speaking with Kevin Schlehuber.
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 If I owe you money out there, I'm sorry
Schlehuber,
about that.
Yeah. He, of course, competed on the recent Big Brother 19
yes.
that just concluded. Any appetite to maybe do another reality show? Or if what if you had the chance for someone to, you know, bring you back, or you could be like a part
of... If I go back, I'll win this time. You hear that? You get that out there to L.A. to the producers. Yes, because I didn't know the concept. The basic concept. Paul came to me and used that word, and that word clicked one day. Mm. I was just the day I got into the fight with Jason, I mean with Josh, and I threatened Josh because I said, don't talk about my family no more, and he kept going, and they were baiting Josh to do it. I mean, he's called me and talked since, and they told him to do it, and I said, listen, Paul came and said, Kevin, don't you understand the concept of the game? They baited you. They want you to do that. But Paul, meantime, was running the whole game the whole time. So he was smart, outsmarting everyone the whole time. But if I would go back, yeah, I just came back from L.A.
Past weekend.
Yeah, and I'm going to Canada to do some meet and greets. And I'm having a meet and greet this weekend, and then I'm going up to Canada and Edmonton, where they think Wayne Gretzky was the best hockey player. But we know from Boston, Bobby Orr was the greatest hockey player to ever play. May 10th, 1970, remember it. He dove through the air. I had that poster on my wall. Him, Tony Conigliaro, you know, Dr. J, too. I had him on my wall for years. Well, I had it before Bird.
He was a UMass guy, wasn't he?
Yeah, he went to UMass.
He was a UMass guy.
That's right. I can't believe you know. Yes, he was. Rucker Fox.
A sports guy.
Dr. J. So I had Bobby Orr, Tony C. I had them all on my wall for years. So when I get up to Canada, I'm going to tell them because they're going to be like Olivia. Of course, especially in Edmonton. They may not. You never know because he left and went to the King.
Right.
But Bobby Orr changed the game, the world, everything. They put MDC rinks everywhere. JP, Rosendale, Mission, everywhere had an ice skating rink. When Bobby Orr, 1967.
Oh, yeah.
Because of Bobby Orr, number right. four, the big bad Bruins.
Have you ever met him?
Yeah, no, I love Bobby Orr, too. I would love to meet him.
I mean, he's still around. I met him once. The nicest hockey players are the most sincere, nicest guys.
If they could ask me anyone, of course, I grew up going to Mission Church, Our Lady Perpetual. Anyone on the earth, I would have to say the Pope. Have to say the Pope first. I mean, otherwise, you know, my grandmother would turn over. But after that, I would say, man, right up there. You know, Larry Bird I met, you know, I mean, Tom Brady. I mean, sure. Come on, who does, well, you can't not say Tom Brady. But Bobby Orr, my man, that's the man.
But see, I met Terry O'Reilly, another great guy.
Man.
Nifty. Rick Middleton?
Yeah, you kidding me? He's around the center, man. All of them. Are you kidding? Listen, I can name the 1970 Bruins team, Derek Sanderson, Johnny Busick. I can name them all. We can go all night long. Jerry Cheevers.
Don't do that.
Jerry Cheevers. Remember with the mask?
Oh, yeah.
Man, everyone knew that. Everyone in Boston. If you didn't know them, you weren't from Boston.
No, and my family got into hockey.
Good.
For this cool. Very,
exactly right. Yeah. That's what everyone did. Everyone wanted to play hockey. And then you can name the Flyers. You can name the Canadian players. Guy Lafleur, Yvonne Conway, Ken Dryden. These guys, that was 40 years ago.
Dryden was originally.
Ken Dryden, yeah, lawyer.
Wasn't he a Bruin?
Yeah, and they sold the rights to the Canadian. Yeah, exactly.
How do you do that?
And he was the first one to wear the mask with the cage.
How do you do that?
I know. Well, we had Cheevers.
Yeah, but then we get a cup.
And Eddie Johnson.
Well, yeah.
Well, we won 70 and 72.
70-72, but then we had a drought for 39 years Peter Chiarelli.
Yeah, but still, it don't matter. That Bobby Orr goal in St. Louis when David Sanderson
was big.
And he dove, man. Hey, that was it. It didn't matter.
That was big. And
Johnny Pearsall on Channel 38, man.
So what becomes of Kevin Schlaihuber? What happened? What becomes of you? Do you do anything with this?
Yeah, no.
Other
I
than
guess
doing
so.
The meet
yeah,
and greets?
No, I'm going to do the meet and greets, and then I'm going to do a, I get contacts from people in New York. This guy wants me to do a podcast and do his radio show once a week, advice from Kevin, because I always got dressed up and acted, like an adult. My opinion was, until some of the rest, I would dress nice and all this, and that just comes back from the city and the way we all grew up, everyone. And
you are a nice guy.
Thank you.
You are a very nice
thank
guy.
You.
And
so I think that I'm going to go
I feel
go
bad
on.
For you. I'm like,
that's what I mean. Everyone, and I didn't know that. How do I know everyone in America is feeling bad for me? I'm eating. I just get my headband on. I have my thing there. And I'm eating ice cream and hanging out. I didn't know you feel. I thought you would feel bad. I mean, it wasn't that. I mean, I had them making breakfast for me. You knew. I knew once they stopped making me breakfast that they were coming after me.
No.
Yeah. I got breakfast like 70 straight days.
Now, were you surprised that like Christmas made it? Yeah, I can tell you the funniest part earlier on when Christmas, they would like, they play a little jingle, am I right? They'd do like, they'd say her name and like jing, 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 like
yep.
Christmas stuff. Were you surprised that she stayed even though she had broke her foot?
Well, Christmas is a, and
she's
I
a
love
superstar.
Christmas. Christmas is my girl.
She's like a training superstar.
Me and her were really tight of all the girls in the show, the women in the show.
Yeah.
And not only because she was 35. I mean, we were just close. And I told her that if she wanted to leave, they would have her back. But I didn't know how big of a superstar she was, like in terms of her CrossFit stuff and things like that.
Right.
But she, me and Christmas, I have no beef with Christmas. She, at the end, you got to understand, here's what happened. They will make anything up. They will, their criteria, and they would criticize.
Wheels are turning.
And they would dictate to make something up to let's get you out instead of me going out. So let's say Kevin, he don't have kids. He's making that up. Who can make up seven kids' names all with
well,
their
Josh was kind of, if you watch, Josh was like, there was a time where he was towards the end, tell me if I'm right, Olivia, where he was like, oh, I don't know, I don't think Paul's on board with Christmas. Like, shut up. And
yeah.
She'd like,
yeah.
She shut him up.
No, Josh has called me and talked to me and said, he calls me Kevy. Kevy, I was sticking up for you at the end, remember? And he won, and he's still worried about me.
I'm
and
still
I'm like,
surprised that he won.
And he still calls me, and he's worried about, and he said, Kevy, I stuck up for you. And I said, Josh, man, it was a game, man. It's fine. Yeah. It's a game.
See, because it was up to Josh to pick between Christmas and Paul, and I'm like,
shocking that it got.
And I'm like, I can't believe you picked Paul, because I'm like, Paul got this.
Yeah, I thought easily. It'd be 8-1 vote.
I feel like Josh knew that he was gonna win though, because his goodbye messages every time he would like kind of expose Paul. So towards the end, after they all
plant
saw
the
them,
seed.
they all had time and Jerry to decide.
Oh,
that
I
they
never
didn't
seen
want
any of
Paul.
That. See, I never
yeah,
seen.
Josh,
any.
Every time Josh would say a goodbye message, he would like say Paul planned for this to happen every week.
Really?
And
planting the seed.
Everything Paul planned had happened.
Wow, I didn't think Josh was that.
Yeah, I didn't know he was going to think of that.
Well, he called himself a super fan at the end, didn't he?
Yeah,
that got me. I was like, you can't believe it. He said, I've been watching
it
since I was 12 every day. I'm a super fan. I didn't let them know that. I was like, man, I cannot believe this kid. I never seen the show ever.
Really?
Listen, when we did the one with the comic cutouts, I thought they were wrestlers. I didn't know they were past contestants. I was like, why do they have all these wrestling guys over here? And they were like, and I was like, Paul, who are these guys? He was like, they're all past contestants. I was like, oh my God. I knew Frankie and a few others, but I didn't know.
But see, that's the other thing is that some of these people like knew stuff. It was just impeccable how they were able to compete.
Okay, it's been 19 seasons. Some of them are 28 years old. They've been watching it since they were 10. They knew. When we would get ready to go out to do a comp, they told me what comp was going on. And I'd be like, what? I'd be like, man, I don't even want to go outside there. I didn't even want to go out there.
What about like food and stuff? Well, I mean, did they? If you were like on
Friday,
they catered on
Friday,
to you or what?
No, on Friday they restocked, and if it was gone, it was gone.
Really?
So people started.
So if you wanted cereal, you had to get in on it, huh?
Yeah, you had to get in on it, exactly.
Because Matt was the one who
it was
a big joke. He's like, how many bowls of cereal has
he
eaten?
Yeah, I know. Really, kid, that's all he did. I never talked to the kid. He talked to me three times. I told him, at the end, I felt bad he was leaving. I told him I wanted $25,000. The big mouth went out and told everybody. I was like, did you just tell everyone on me, man? I said, you're lucky we're not out in the street, man. Could you just told on me? But then he was like, hey, dude, this is Big Brother. And I was like, did you just call me dude? What are you, crazy? And he was like, this is Big Brother. And then I was like, what did I get myself into, man? But, you know, on the long term, on the overall, it was fun. You know, I never had.
But you don't feel like Cody and Jess had. While Olivia brings up a good point that Josh was steadily planting the seed in the goodbye messages, you don't feel that like Cody, because Cody seemed like he immediately had it in for Paul.
Yeah.
Immediately.
Right. And he won America's Favorite House Guest, and he was gone at number 10.
And I'm like, how's that possible?
It's impossible. So what I understand is, and people say it's different than that, but Jessica was pushed. She was an Instagram star, too, apparently.
Okay.
I don't even know what that means, but she's an Instagram star. So
okay.
She would press it. Vote for Cody. Don't vote for me. Vote for Cody. When Julie said, when our top three America's Favorite House Guests are Kevin, Jason, and Cody, I was like, Jesus, excuse me, but this ain't going to be Cody. There's not a chance. It could be Cody.
So I thought it would either be you or Paul.
Yeah.
I mean, it was kind of, there were a couple of different, Jason was a favorable guy,
yeah,
too.
Yeah,
he was
a good
guy.
That was my pal. That's my pal. He slept next to me for 70 days.
Yeah.
I used to tell him
he
stories.
He seemed like a real good
man,
guy.
I used to walk the yard and tell him stories. He would have to wear earplugs because he could not, he was laughing so hard that his stomach, he couldn't take. I told him the story about the Uggs. You know what I mean? I know you're running out of time, but if I tell you the Uggs story, let me, the people on the radio will be dying laughing. He could not take it. At nighttime,
You have 1 minute and 30 seconds to tell your Uggs story.
At nighttime, I was just explaining to him, listen, I don't know who this guy is who invented Uggs, but he didn't have six daughters, because $300 for a pair of Uggs. So I bring home my daughter the knockoff ones that say Otto, because my grandmother's maiden name was Otto, and I try to tell my daughters, these are real Uggs. And they're like, Dad, are you serious? All we got to do is Google it. And they weren't real Uggs. They were like knockoff Uggs. And I told him Otto, and I said, well, just get some snow on the back. No one's going to see if it says Uggs or Otto.
Oh,
and
my.
They were, listen, half of them didn't wear the Uggs or the Otto. Jason just couldn't. And I told him about T-ball when my kids were little. He just couldn't. He couldn't. If I called him now, all he would do is laugh the whole time we were here.
Well, we wanted to thank you and your missus.
Thank you. Look at this,
huh? This is a little gift bag from 95.9 WATD. Now, I didn't know your size.
You didn't know I was as tall as this. That's what everyone said.
Are you an XL or are you an L?
I'm a thin guy. I'm an L. No, I'm 6'3".
Oh, okay.
So, but everyone says, honestly, everyone will say the same thing when they meet me. Say, you're way taller than you look. I was like,
so
what do you
from
mean?
Our sponsor, Tiny,
thank
Peter
you so
Brown
much.
Was here.
I'll put him on my Instagram.
And see, you're a Bridgewater guy. One of our other sponsors, McWiggins Pub. There's a gift in downtown Whitman. There's to a gift card and a couple of shirts.
Yeah.
So you can, and a mug.
I will honestly put them on there for you.
From the South Shore. Yeah. Well, we got large and excellent because I wasn't sure if the missus, what the missus size, because it's, oh, yeah, it's so.
My wife's working now, and she's a NICU nurse.
Oh, okay.
So she's busy working.
Well, we'd love to have you back sometime.
Anytime, man. If I bring them all in, you won't have enough chairs. I said that.
That's
if
okay.
I bring all those
we'll
girls
sit
in.
Around and we'll tell
so
stories
a
about
couple
Kevin
of them talk.
Huba.
Olivia, that's right. We'll talk about the old days of Mitchell. Listen, it was a real pleasure, man. You're a good man. Man, thank you so much, everyone out there. Thank you so much. Thank you for watching. Thank you for being a fan.
If somebody wants to follow you, do you have a website?
If someone wants to follow me, you go to BB19 Kevin. That's my Instagram and Twitter. BB19.
You're gonna follow me, so you and I can be pals.
Don't you? Do you follow me?
Oh yeah. That's
then
how I reached out to you through Instagram.
Do all that, Liv. Why don't you tell me how to do all that?
I'll teach you.
And you got to keep us in touch in regards to your future.
Okay. Yeah, definitely.
I will.
She'll put it up there because I'm just learning, but I'm getting good at it now.
You are. And you were good at sending me an email back. So I definitely appreciate that because I was surprised.
Definitely.
I was like, wow.
No, yes. I would come in. Come on, man. We're all from the same. Yeah. I'm going to guess. I don't know. Dorchester. You look like North End or, I don't know, West Roxbury, Rosie.
Tachi.
Or something like that.
You figure it out.
Huh?
Tachi, you figure it out.
Okay, I got it already.
There you go. All right.
No problem.
Well, that's
I used to go down there to the Corner Cafe. Richie, my friend, oh, my God. We played for them when they opened up that new rink down there. Loved it down there, yeah.
You were a forward or you were more of a defensive?
I was a goalie.
Goalie.
Forgot my mask on Cheevers, my birthday and got knocked out cold. And they had to take me. Yeah, that's another long story. If I tell you that one, you don't have enough time for
this. We're going to go. But Kevin Schlehuba, we got to thank you for joining us. Olivia, thank you for being here and filling the gaps with Dad.
We're talking. She's texting, so.
We're going to step aside.
Guys,
we'll
thank you so
back
much.
Next week at 6:15 p.m. Until then, have a great evening.
South Shore's first choice for live team coverage of breaking news, emergency traffic, and severe weather. 95.9 WATD FM Marshfield and 95.9 WATD.com.